2, Genesis chapter 5, and we're looking at Bible characters, and it's a neat way to study your Bible. We've studied it by book, and that's always good. That's how you're supposed to read your Bible, but you could study it by character. And going through, some characters are obviously more pronounced all through the Bible than others. However, there is so much in the book of Genesis. There's a reason it's the first book in your Bible, okay? It's the book of beginnings, Genesis, genes, beginnings, all of that. Here's what I'd like you to know. Until you get to Exodus 33 is where God gives Moses Genesis, Exodus, and then obviously that is going to be continued to be penned until Moses dies. But Jesus told us Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Okay? Well, what we're reading this morning, Moses wasn't there. Moses wasn't there when God created the earth. So what you're reading until you get to Exodus 33, I love this thought. And the whole Bible's inspired. The whole Bible's the Word of God. But what you're reading is what God told Moses happened. It's not Moses hearing the story. There's no oral tradition here. It's God telling Moses, this is what I want you to know about these events. I don't care if it's Cain and Abel or Adam and Eve or creation or this morning we look at Noah. Moses wasn't there in Noah's day. He's about 1,500 years past Noah's day. All right, Moses would come on the scene. But, so as we look at this, watch what happens here. Genesis chapter 5, here's where it starts. Look at verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, thus this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Okay, here's all I'd like you to notice. Out of all the names you got in Genesis 5, you're going to have Enoch, and you're going to have Methuselah, the oldest man in the world, the man that lived the longest on the earth. You're going to have all of these names, and Noah is the one that God describes his name, the one who will give comfort to a cursed earth. And it's interesting, God's getting ready in the next chapter to curse all of mankind. He's going to destroy everything but Noah, because of the sin of man. All right, so I thought that was interesting. And then here it says, and Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. This whole chapter, speaking of people living 900 years, Adam lives 930 years, Methuselah 960 years old. Okay, almost 1,000 years old. We don't relate to that. Before the flood, the atmosphere was different on the earth. I tried to tell you a little bit, and I don't want to go into all of it, but the atmospheric pressure was different, and there was a lot more water in the air. Adam could run and sprint for 5 miles, I mean, as fast as he could, and he was never winded. Because when he breathed, it'd be like us taking 5 breaths. Okay, the atmospheric pressure was a lot different, all right? That's why it was able to rain like it did, and I'll cover that with you here in just a second. But the atmosphere is different. So people, God made the earth for Adam to live on and not sin. Now Adam sinned, right? So Adam died. But God made the earth for man to live on. That's how come Adam, all of them lived 800-900 years. It was different, okay? A lot different. People don't normally live past 100. I think Brother Garland's mom lived to 102. 101, and every once in a while you hear that happening, but most people's life expectancy is somewhere between 70 and 90 years old, okay? And if somebody does make it to 100, glory to God, all right? But it just doesn't happen a whole lot. So, the atmosphere was different. Then, also know this, before the flood, they had a vegetarian diet. Nobody ate meat. Isn't that sad? Let's just take a moment and think about that. No bacon, no sausage, no steak, no... Okay, but it's... See, men think that way. God said, every herb and plant I've given you for meat. Then after the flood, God said, the animals are here to serve you. Okay? But to shorten man's life, God changed the atmosphere and God changed man's diet. To shorten man's life because man's a sinner. You think about it, 900, 800 years, that's a long time. You can get in a lot of trouble in 800, 900 years. As if you can't get in trouble in a regular lifetime of 70 years, right? That's a long time to live as a sinner. And so God shortened the lifespan of people, and where God said, just 120 years, that's it. Because to live as a sinner here, I think the Lord was doing us a favor. Amen. Now, with all that to say, let's start. Okay, one more thing. More we can learn about Noah. Can you keep your finger there? Go to Matthew 24. Look at verses 36 to 39. The reason I think this is such a helpful Bible study is because of what our Savior told us. Matthew 24. And look at verse 36. Jesus is teaching us here, and he says, Matthew 24, 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus is talking about his coming when he comes again, not the rapture. He's talking about when he comes again with his angels. Look at verse 37, and I wish you'd mark it in your Bible. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 38 tells what they were doing in Noah's day. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Is there anything wrong with eating? Is there anything wrong with drinking? Is there anything wrong with marriage? I hope not. God designed it. Right? But there's something tied in with this that God wants us to point out that's going to come full circle. In other words, it was happening back in the days of Noah. They were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Now, go back to Genesis chapter 6. Whatever we learn about the days of Noah, that's what things are going to be like when Jesus gets ready to come back. So what were the days of Noah like? What kind of a atmosphere did Noah have? And watch this. Here we go. Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Okay, here we go. We've studied this before, and I'm not going to spend a long time on it, but many people use John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And they use John 1, 12 to say, see, saved people, sons of God, saw the daughters of men. Well, daughters of men, that must be lost people. So when saved people were marrying lost people, then that's what caused God to destroy the earth. And all I want you to know is this. In the Old Testament, you do your own word study, and there's ways you can look up words in a concordance. But sons of God are always angels. It's either angels, Israel, or one reference to the Lord Jesus. All right? But most, there's three references to angels. Okay, that's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, a son of God is somebody that gets saved. Someone who trusts Jesus as their Savior. You're a son of God when you trust Jesus Christ. You say, oh, I'm a girl. Come, I'm not a daughter. A girl had no inheritance. You want to be a son of God when you get saved. Amen? Amen. You're still a missus, but praise God, you're one of his children. Amen? So, here we go. Old, New Testament difference. So, angels are getting married to lost people. That's what's happening. Say, can that happen? Just, that's a Bible study in itself. God makes reference that it's wicked. We'll call it this. DNA manipulation. DNA is called your life code. DNA is what makes you you. If they took your DNA and they stretched it out, it would go from here, from one person, it would go from here to the moon and back 13 times. Can you imagine that God wrote that? I mean, how big my nose is? That's in my DNA. I got a big schnoz. Amen? Okay? The color of my hair, the color of my eyes, how tall I am, all of that's in my DNA. And angels, see, the key word in verse 2 is wives. They were, lost people were looking to marry angels that were fallen, following Lucifer, for one purpose. Because what did the devil tell them back in Genesis chapter 3? Ye shall not die, ye shall be as gods. Small g. So, the promise of everlasting life. Wow, I can live forever and not die if I'll do wrong. God didn't sanction any of this. And so, how God made them, you could think of them as angel crossbreeds. You know what the Bible term for it is in Jude? Strange flesh. Strange flesh. And then here in Genesis 6, it's how mankind corrupts himself. Why would the devil want fallen angels marrying people? Well, remember, God told Satan that the woman is going to have a child that's going to kill you, crush your head. So immediately Satan declared war on the human race. He didn't know who was going to do it. Didn't know it was Jesus. But he started to try to corrupt mankind because he knew somebody, God already told him, somebody's going to kill you and step on your head. All right? So, the devil wanted to stop because he corrupted, he was trying to corrupt mankind. And man was seeking to marry bad things because they wanted to live forever. People have been looking for the fountain of youth for a long time. People still talk about foolishly. No, but it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Everybody has an appointment with death. You're going to die someday. Okay? God knows when that is. But that's how come, what, the cryonics and them trying to freeze bodies until we get a cure for it. It's so foolish. Whatever I can do, keep from dying. Why don't you get saved and get ready? Amen? Get ready to die. Prepare to meet thy God. Amen. Not prepare to live forever. Nobody has done that. But here we go. Understanding this, look at verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God didn't like what was going on. To change your DNA is to change the way God made you. And I don't mind saying, how you know, we're studying. God said, just like it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be like that when I come back. Like what? The vaccine is called genetic therapy. It changes your DNA. You say, how? Oh, several things that happen. But we're watching our society go to... Right now, if in the medical world, if you don't like your eye color, you can have your DNA changed to change the color of your eyes. If you don't like your hair color, you can dye it or you can get a DNA change. There, we're now watching mankind alter what God made on the DNA level. You say, well, this has never happened before. This hasn't happened since the days of Noah. That's one reason I think Jesus is getting ready to come back. I think we're so close to Jesus coming back. Amen? And this is one of the main reasons. Okay, I won't get into transhumanism and stuff like that, but they are looking to mesh AI and human beings. Okay? If you that talk is about 25 years old, 30 years old. They are looking to mesh machine and humans. They're saying this, man is in the way. Man has not, anytime anybody talks to you about evolution, you know it's wicked. But man has not evolved fast enough. So we need to put machines in him, chips in the brain and all that. There's quite a few people with computer chips in their brain to enhance their thinking. I'm just telling you that's where we're going. You say, what's that mean? To me, it means Jesus is coming. Amen? We're getting real close. Here we go. Keep on reading. God didn't like what was going on. Look at verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, We've had a small Bible study on that before, but the Smithsonian, just 45 miles north of us, has skeletons in the basement. They don't like them because it doesn't help teach evolution. So anything that doesn't teach evolution, they hide. Okay, but in the basement, there are many records of skeletons that start at 9 feet tall, 12, 16, 24. The tallest one they have in there is 36 feet. You know how tall a 36-foot-high person is? That puts you below their kneecap. Okay? You're not mid-shin, but you're almost... Can you imagine? Well, there's a lot of proof of that, and but there were giants in the earth, keep in mind, when? Before the flood. Strange flesh is happening. Giants are happening. And so, let's finish, watch this. In the earth in those days, watch this, and also two words, after that. After what? After the flood. It happened after the flood. There's strange flesh today. It's just not on the scale it was in Genesis 6. Okay? But there's strange flesh today. That's a different Bible study, but watch this. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. There's about 6 megalith cities. These are cities, South America, Europe, I believe Africa. There's 6 megalith cities that have stones that make them. They're so big, like 20 tons, like 40,000 pounds. And they'll tell you this was made before the flood. How did they move stones that big? Well, if you got somebody that's 36 feet tall or 24 feet tall, can you picture them picking up big ton stones and ore, two of them, taking one and putting them in there? They're called megalith cities. Megaliths. There's about 6 of them on the earth that you can go look at. That's how they explain it. Giants built them. Where'd the giants come from? From the devil's work of mixing the Son of God and the daughters of men. Men, mighty men, men of renown. Watch this, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So what happens when you change the way God makes you? They don't know. They say, we can change your eye color. We can change your hair. We can even change your height. Isn't that strange? We can change, but we don't know how it'll affect you. If we change you, your DNA, it'll change. This is what the scientists are saying. It'll change how you talk. It'll change how you walk. It'll change how you think. We just don't know how it'll affect you. That's why you don't ever want to play with what God made. Amen? You don't ever want to alter what God made. I think Genesis 6 tells us when you play with what God made, you end up with aren't we watching our society become more and more violent? Now, there's several reasons for that, but I think this is one of them. Our society is becoming more violent. And the imagination is only evil continually. Watch verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The word repent means to change your mind, and God is the first one to repent in the Bible. Repent doesn't mean turn from sin. It can't. It means to change your mind, and God was the first one to change his mind or repent in the Bible. Man has become so wicked. Think about it. What God created man, and male and female created he them. He said, that's good, right? In Genesis 1. Now God's saying, man is so evil, I wish I never would have made him. I'm going to kill everybody and start over with Noah. That's pretty drastic, I would think. That's pretty big. Watch this. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowl of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them. Watch this. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the first time the word grace is found in your Bible. And Noah finds it. What does that mean? Now, if I want to learn what Noah, God put Noah in the Bible for me to learn from him. What can I learn? If you find grace in the eyes of the Lord, I think that first means you're a humble person. You don't think more of yourself than you should. We live in a very proud society. Men are lovers of their own selves. They're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They live for self, the narcissism, the selfies. We live in a very self-centered, proud, selfish society, and it's getting worse. Noah is my example to say, you stay humble. You ain't all that in a bag of chips. You need the Lord, and you'll never know how much you need God. You'll never know. You'll try, but you need God desperately. I need the Lord desperately. Okay? So, how do you find grace? Noah found grace. I think that would include humility. What else could I learn from Noah? It took determination for Noah to live right. Think about it. The whole earth is corrupt. People are violent. Can you imagine? In 2 Peter 2:5, it says he was a preacher of righteousness. Remember Enoch, 600 years before Noah? Ungodly sinners of ungodly ways, what they've ungodly committed, what they were ungodly. I mean, Enoch was a preacher and nobody got saved. Enoch preached for 300 years, right? The son was born and then he preached for 300, and then God took him. Picture of the rapture. We looked at that a couple of weeks ago. Noah preached for 120 years. And it's, think about who he was preaching to. Violent people. People that didn't like, you know, when we went to the ark, they had pictures of, you know, they said if it was just Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, that's four men building the ark. I think 120 years is a long time to build. You know what I mean? Can you imagine reaching the 60-year mark saying, halfway there? You know, I mean, that's quite a task. They had giants helping build the ark when we were at the Ark in Kentucky. I disagree with that because, here's my thought, okay? You know, and one day Ken Ham, I think he's saved. He'll be in heaven. He'll know I'm right. That was a joke. Okay, I don't think God would have allowed evil, strange flesh to help with the Ark that would picture salvation. Nor do I think they would have willingly helped. Okay, because it says the earth is filled with violence. That means everybody, Noah's preaching to a nasty people, and nobody gets saved. Folks, hey Noah, what you building? Remember, an ark, the ark was, what, 510 feet long? That's almost two football fields, right? Okay, that's huge. Hey Noah, what you building? An ark. What's that? It's a boat. Keep in mind, there were no seas. Nobody had ever floated on a boat. It never rained before. Can you imagine Noah saying, folks, God's going to destroy the earth. You need to get ready. You need to get... And they're going, what's God going to do, Noah? There's going to come a rain. What's rain? The only thing that ever happened was dew on the ground. Can you imagine preaching to a violent, corrupt, wicked people? And I think all they did was made fun of Noah. He preached for 120 years. Okay, here we go. Let's keep on reading. Watch this. Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, I know where we were at. It took, what kind of determination would that take to live for the Lord in that type of a society? You wouldn't accidentally be a good Christian in that society. It took Noah saying, my family's not going to do that. We are not going to participate in that. And you can't tell me that was that. I picture Noah telling Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their wives, we're all we've got. There is nobody else. And we're going to do right and we're going to live for the Lord. I think that takes determination. They do this in the evenings. We don't live that way. It took determination for Noah to do that. I think it took one more thing. When you look at Genesis 6:22, go ahead and look at Genesis 6:22. Look at the last verse in chapter 6. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. Everything God told him to do, Noah did. Please remember, Noah didn't have a Bible, right? Okay, if you don't have the Bible, then that means you're sensitive to God's voice and what God says. How can I be like Noah? In the wicked days we live in, I need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, listening for what God wants, right? I think we're living in funny times, weird times, strange times. I've told every special speaker we've had since for the past 2 years, nobody knows what to do because we've never done this before. We're all living. No one has seen this type of evil. No one has seen this. What do you do? One day at a time, just listen to the Lord. God will guide you. He'll never forsake you or leave you. But you need to listen. And I think Noah is a picture of someone who was sensitive to that still small voice of the Lord in wicked times. Noah encourages me. Because if Noah could live right in those times, I can live right in these times. Right? I don't need to use it as an excuse. Well, it's never been this bad before. Yes, it has. And if Noah could live for God, you could live for God. Amen? You need to just be humble, determine you're going to live right, and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Watch this. As far as go back one more time. Now let's look at Noah. Verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. And notice how God says this, perfect in his generations. I have written right by the word generations, genes. Perfect in his genes. Remember? He wouldn't allow him or his family to partake of what society was doing. We don't do that. We don't. That's a lie of the devil. We're going to live for God. And think about it. Out of all the people on the earth, Noah and his family were the only ones that did not allow DNA manipulation, themselves to be changed. God said, then you eight will be the only ones I save. So, keep on reading. Watch this. And Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God, chapter 5. Noah walked with God, chapter 6. We know Samuel and Isaiah and David, they walked with God too, but there's only two people in the Bible that God records walked with him. Enoch and Noah. We talked about walking with God last week and how important it is. Look, you're not going to preach for 120 years and nobody responds to you. You can't tell me that doesn't play head games. That leads to depression. You don't make it through that unless you walk with God. Walk with the Lord. Nobody responding every day, people making fun of you, living for God. There's only one way you make it through that. Same way Enoch made it. You walk with God in wicked times. Here we go. Keep on reading here. Watch this. Just look at verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, here's a word again, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Everybody was changed. Nothing is the way God made it. That's why we don't play with what God made. Amen? God, there aren't 72 genders. There's only two, male and female. Marriage is only supposed to be between a man and a woman. It's never between a woman and a woman or a man and a man. You don't change what God created. If you do, death follows. Always. And we learn that. That's why the book of Genesis is so important. All flesh had corrupted itself. Noah's the only one that's right. And then verses 14 down, God's going to tell Noah how to make the ark, what to do. When you look at the video of Ron Wyatt finding the ark in 1987, that's when Turkey allowed him to do the digging, and they did. They found a vessel 510 feet long. They looked at the wood and they analyzed it. The technology that was in the ark, they're saying it was a laminate wood with seven layers. That's pretty high technology. The rivets that held the boat together, and that's how they were able to find the things with a metal detector. It's interesting. If you watch the video, the rivets were huge, and they were an alloy that that included titanium, manganese. It was more than just aluminum and iron. They're saying it was a very complex alloy. You say, where'd he get that smarts? Before the flood, it wasn't a bunch of cavemen. Now, they didn't have computers, but it wasn't a bunch of cavemen. These are very... Adam had complete intelligence. We only use 10% of our brain. Some people use less. Okay, but Adam used his whole brain. That was... Adam used everything God gave him, and he passed it on. They knew how to mix metals. I'm just telling you, it was a three-layer boat that could, 510 feet long, three layers, window on top, door on the side, and God brought the animals to him, okay? And you can read that. Here's the timeline. For 7 days, they come to the ark, and I don't know if God called all the animals two by two. They took seven of clean animals so they could make a sacrifice after the ark landed. Okay, so two of everything, but seven of sheep and goats and cows and pigeons. That was for offerings. Okay, so 7 days you get in that ark, then the rain begins. For 40 days it rains. Then the flood peaks at 150 days. So they were in the boat a total of 371 days, or a year and 17 days. A year and 17. The mountaintops are seen after 74 days, 45 days. Noah sends out the raven and the dove. And then the raven stays out and the dove comes back. Look, the only thing that you send out, you say, what's the big deal about that? The only thing that placed for the raven to rest on was floating bodies. And the dove said, I'm not resting on dead bodies. Raven doesn't mind. It eats dead food, right? Kind of a picture of... Finally, he sends out the dove. That was 3 weeks. Then the earth is dry. And after 56 days, they leave the ark. You could do that timeline as you read your Bible. But they were on that ark for a year and 17 days. Then, let's figure out... I just want you to get an idea of how it rained. 40 days is 960 hours or 57,600 minutes. Okay, you could do the math on that. It says that the rain went 15 cubits above the highest mountain. Well, if you look up, the highest mountain on the earth is what? Mount Everest. Now, some say there's a mountain in Hawaii. They measure from the floor of the ocean up, and it's supposed to be tall. I didn't include that one because half of it's underwater, okay? But Mount Everest is 29,000 feet tall. Half of the distance, now it says the earth broke and the waters came up, and then it says the waters came down. I don't know that it was exactly halfway. That's a video I want to see when we get to heaven. Amen? Some have suggested that the earth used to rotate the opposite way. And when God brought it to a halt and caused the rotation to stop, that would have caused a massive downfall in the water that was in the atmosphere. I don't know. I don't have any proof of that. There's just people have speculated. We'll find out when we get to heaven, but it rained a lot. You say, how much? Let's take Mount Everest, divide it in half, and you come up with 14,514 feet or 174,174 inches. Take this and divide this into it. And it rained for 40 days, 3 inches a minute. The heaviest rain I've ever been in was here in Maryland. I think 5 years ago, 5 years ago, when it rained 3 inches in 20 minutes. Our house almost flooded, and I remember all that. You know, me and the boys, we were pushing water out and everything else. That's the most rain I've ever seen. You couldn't see the road from our house. It was coming down so hard. That was 3 inches in 20 minutes. It rained for 40 days, 3 inches a minute. Can you imagine? I don't think it was a rain that you walked in. You know what I mean? I don't think it was a, you know, go out and you need to go shower, go step out in the rain. All right. I think here we go. The story of Noah is a story of judgment. We use it for children and the animals and the fluffy ark and all that stuff. But God said, I'm going to kill everybody with water, except 8 people. Can you imagine at 3 inches a minute, probably in about 20 minutes, it was over people's heads? Okay? Can you imagine them beating on the sides of, can you imagine being you and your family on the inside and you hear people, Noah, Noah, my baby's dying, Noah, let us in. God shut the door and wouldn't let Noah and them out and wouldn't let anybody else in. Can you imagine what they heard? I wonder after about 30 minutes, maybe after an hour, all the beating stopped. Took several days for the ark to finally rise and float. It's a story of judgment. And God was starting. Did you know all of us go back to Noah? Okay? Here's one more thing I want to close with you. Now let's look at the end of the flood. Ready? End of the flood. Look at Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Verse 18, and the sons of Noah that went forth to the ark was Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. Boy, I don't have time to go into this, but here we go. Look down verse, let me just read it. Verse 21, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. And told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it upon both their shoulders, and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had. You probably need to underline the word done unto him. It was more than just seeing somebody inappropriately dressed. Something happened. It was an evil, immoral thing that happened that caused Noah, watch this, verse 25, and he, Noah, said, cursed be Canaan or Ham?
Canaan.
Canaan. What's unique about Canaan? Canaan is when the children of Israel come up out of Africa or Egypt, God says, kill everybody. Okay? Of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, all of that. Now, this is about 600 years later, 700 years later, okay? So, cursed be Canaan. If you understand on Mount Ararat is where Noah rested, you understand where everybody on the earth comes from. Japheth went north to Europe. He was enlarged. Shem is your Oriental people. Everything from Jerusalem. It says, Japheth will dwell in his tents of the religion. I know I'm talking fast here, but the three major world religions, Catholicism, Christianity, and Judaism, all come from Jerusalem. Okay? That's prophecy being fulfilled. That's what God said would happen here. Okay? Shem and Ham went south. There's all your nationalities. If you want to say this is white, this is Oriental, and this is black. Here, why would you cover that? God said, a servant of servants shall Ham be. Keep in mind where slavery started. Slavery started in Africa. Who were the first people to be slaves? Jews. Okay? Slavery started in Africa. Here's all I'd like you to think about. Some people use this passage. We don't, and I won't teach it this way, but they'll use it to say, Ham is cursed, and therefore black people are cursed. It didn't say cursed be Ham. It said cursed be Canaan. It doesn't say cursed be Ham anywhere in there. But I've seen churches that'll use this passage, and I think it's foolish. I think it's stupid. It's wrong. And all it does is feed racism. It's garbage. No, Canaan was the one that was cursed. Okay? Canaan was the one that was cursed. So when it comes to this, I'd like you to read it properly. There's more you could learn about that, but that is, all of us go back to Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth is where all of the, quote, if you want to say races come from, although that word's not in your Bible. What's in your Bible? Nationality. God never uses the word race. Do you know why? Because we're all of one race. And that's how come Jesus' blood saves everybody, regardless of your DNA. Amen. There's one salvation. And so here we go. That's the story of Noah. I hope it helps.